welcome to another episode of the Cursed Checkpoint, Horrible Nights topical podcast. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight is Ethan Moses.
Hey.
And we've chosen tonight's gaming lifestyle topic to talk about our video game buying habits, to figure out, are we buying too many games? And this kind of hit me face first this past weekend when I fell into one of those traps of another Steam sale where they did a quick bargain pricing on the Odd Box and talked about adding Stranger's Wrath, the HD version, to that. And I was like, oh, I want to check out that HD version of Stranger's Wrath. And went in the store, put it in my cart, processed the payment. It says, you already own this entire package. And I was like, no, I don't. And I, sure enough, glanced through my game library, and it's sitting there, never been downloaded, never been played, but I wanted to buy it twice before playing it once. I might have a problem, Ethan.
Well, I was going to say, that's just kind of like when those Steam sales pop up and those outrageous prices are all, you know, you can't take advantage of any of them because you've already, you know, bought those games at some point in the past. I mean, I think that Steam especially is where I've kind of gotten to the point that I'm like, you know, I need to kind of back off. And actually right now, being in Germany, because now my Steam is in Euro and I haven't figured out, you know, the whole bank situation, I'm kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, I'm protected from myself, I guess, at this point. But but definitely, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're almost obligated to buy a lot of games. I mean, we can't really very well do a video game website and not play a lot. But then there comes a point where there are those games that we never play anyway. So yeah. It's kind of ridiculous once you get to that point. So
it's especially going into the fall release season here. I mean, we've been like, I feel like this summer in particular on our site, we were very across the board playing more games than ever before, at least in the history of this site. But we are all playing backlog stuff, but we have so many games to go back to that we either bought originally or just never got around to that it was kind of surprising that we stayed as busy as we are. But now we're going to be busy with new releases at the same time. And I don't know how you navigate kind of making your purchases here in the next 6 months.
Yeah, see, that's... I'm getting hit from multiple directions here because, I mean, again, you know, I just have now gotten into Darksiders 2. Borderlands 2 is going to be out, you know, here in the next few days. I'm still playing a lot of Secret World, and then I'm looking forward to these, you know, these other games coming out, you know, Torchlight 2 and all this. And I'm like, you know, not only are these, like, you know, games that I've been excited for, but they're pretty, you know, chunky games. I mean, they're big games. They're not these little just one-off type deals. And that's kind of like the status quo right now is we're not getting these quick little games as often as we used to. And even with some of the indie games, I pick up a lot of indie games, and that's probably the 60% of my library. But even then, I mean, there's a lot of substance and content to these, and then you add in the achievements and that kind of stuff. I mean, they keep you locked in a lot longer now.
Maybe that's the big change, is that there's a flood of lower priced games and higher quality indie games. And, you know, we kind of talk a lot about the different tiers of games, and we're not even talking about free to play at this point, but that, you know, I was thinking back to, I bought Penny Arcade Adventures Episode 3 for Xbox Live Indie Games. And anytime I'm on the Indie Games channel on Xbox Live, I don't ever think about, I just see cheap games and that have interesting concepts. I don't think about how long some of these games might actually take to play. And
yeah.
I mean, Penny Arcade Episode 3, it's an RPG. I mean, it's not, it's not a quick in and out in an hour type of game.
It's deceptive. Yeah.
And I don't have a problem by picking up two or three $15 games and with the assumption that they're going to be shorter to play, but a lot of them aren't anymore. They all have their reasons to keep playing them.
I was going to say the 3 hour game is probably about, you know, that concept is about 5-10 years old right now. I mean, I remember that was a long game. I think back to like the Resident Evils and some of those type games, you know, not counting like the RPGs, Final Fantasies, that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's not, you know, again, even the first person shooters, you know, the Call of Duties and that kind of stuff, they're still 8 to 10 hours long. So, I mean, there's just that much. I don't know. There's just, it's almost, I want somebody to just make a game that's quick and easy. And that's why sometimes I get on to like Armor Games or Kongregate,
sure,
and play some of those quick and easy games, because they're built for that. And that's a good distraction. And it also kind of, you know, every time you think you want to buy one of those games that you know you're not going to play, and I know that you probably do the exact same thing as me, as you look at the game, you say, oh, I'll never play that, but you buy it anyway. The Kongregate and the Armor Games is kind of like the cure for that, I guess, sometimes. But still, I keep, you know, I don't know, I keep filling my library up. It's almost like I'll never have the opportunity to play the games again. Like, it's like, this is your only opportunity. This is the only sale, the only deal you have. And if you don't take advantage of it now, you're totally screwed. And that's just so not true. But I don't know what has been built into our heads. And maybe it was when we were kids. We I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know about you, but I had maybe three games, you know, for a lot of the systems. I mean, up until used games was kind of a bigger thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's like this desperation built into it. It's kind of like, you know, people that hoard, you know, like, you know, crap. I mean, they didn't have a whole lot of stuff when they were younger. And now that they have the opportunity to grab hold of things, they go for it. I think we're doing that with games at this point.
Well, do you think it's a perception thing? I mean, as far as you just mentioned growing up, that, you know, sounds like both of us, we had to jump from game to game slowly just because of those are the ones that we owned. You know, you get them for birthdays or special events, and maybe you rent a game here and there, that you're only really bouncing between 2 to 5 games over the course of a year. And then I just started thinking along those same lines that I think I'm playing more games now as an adult than I did as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that I played more hours as a kid, but I'm not totally sure. I think you and I, you know, we're two of the heavier gamers on Horrible Night, that I'm not sure if that actually holds up. And then I started thinking about, I keep going back to my World of Warcraft addiction, and that seems like I played more hours of games at that time because I was focused on one. And but I don't know if that's true. If it just seems like once you are playing multiple games at once, it kind of distorts your perception of how much time you're actually spending with any of them.
Well, and we don't have bedtimes now. That was the other thing I was kind of thinking about. Like, where'd all this time come on? I don't necessarily have a job now, but I mean, when I did have a job, it was like, you know, you could stay up late and you could play these games. So again, it's no longer you have this amount of time that you have to give to your game time. You can play as essentially indefinitely. And I think, you know, the World of Warcraft thing, I mean, when I was playing Secret World, the kind of same thing kind of happened. It's, I felt like I was like, man, I'm playing way too much. But now that I'm balancing between four, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Like, this is all right. I look at my, you know, my Raptor time and it's like, you know, 40, 50 hours. I'm like, oh, holy shit. Like, I'm totally really, really doing the unemployed thing pretty well right now. So,
we started, you know, when we started up our, gaming our asses off competition, when we were trying to lose weight and gain gamer points, I started really noticing, I started paying attention to other people's, the amount of game time they spent on Raptor, especially just because a number of us use that to track our game time, and trying to, you know, use my time effectively, try to get the most gamer points out of my time, but also realizing I'm playing twice as much than a couple other people, but also my main competitor was still playing more than me, but getting less points. And I hadn't looked at my gameplay time probably in the last 2 or 3 years. So that was kind of interesting that I don't think I've as much as new responsibilities that I've taken on, even with our site and my day job. I still think my gameplay time per week kind of stays up, but I feel like I'm further and further behind in my backlog, but I keep buying games. And I don't know how to get ahead, I guess.
Well, you talked about that intimidating factor of you look at your list of games and you don't know what to play, and that almost prevents you from playing more games, but for some reason you still continue to buy. And I kind of wonder, like, you know, looking at, you know, I mean, all of our friends, you know, and the guys that write on the site, like, you know, we're probably up there in terms of people that buy games, but like, you know, globally, like, are we that bad off, or do you think other people like buy more games than us or less? Because I can't get my feel for it, because I don't think it's crazy until I look at my Steam queue and then I'm like, oh shit, like, this is, you know, like, my name's popping up every time there's a Steam sale, like, oh, Ethan bought this, and I'm like, you know, I don't see that with my other Steam friends.
How do you rationalize buying a game that you know you won't play, like, immediately? Like, there's a difference between the day one purchases that we know we're going to jump into,
yeah,
but I'll be curious what your buying process is like for that.
It's like dumb. It's probably it's probably like primal. Like it's like an instinctual, like just click on it. Like if I think if at one point in history I thought the game looked cool, or it's really, really cheap, or I think maybe possibly somebody might play it with me at some point in the future, I'll buy the game. I mean, so I mean, you know, that just that opens the floodgates essentially, and there's not really any rhyme or reason with it. I've gotten, again, I'm restricted a little bit more so now, but I mean, it was pretty nutty.
I think I've you know, we've talked about the Steam sales; those are very susceptible. But as far as I'm also really susceptible to price drops of games that I've passed up. Now it's rare that I buy. I say that. I was going to say, it's rare that I buy a game on its release day that I know I'm not going to play. I usually have good convictions against that, but as soon as something drops from like 60 to 40 and I was halfway interested in it, that's usually my first breaking point. Like it'll, because Amazon will do that, it'll just pop up on my radar again. It's like, oh yeah, I want to play that game, and now it's cheaper, so now I just put it in the library. I'll get to it when I get to it.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm usually halfway. It's got to be like almost half priced with the games I'm sort of interested in. Now, if I was pretty interested in it, but I just didn't have the money at the time, 40 is right. I'll jump right on it. But yeah, I mean, I almost have these levels of like, you know, even if it's a really crappy game, if the price comes down enough, hey, I might buy it. I mean, $2. I mean, you can't get away with that. Like, I think I bought like got Global Agenda for like $5.99 and actually ended up kind of liking it a little bit. So
yeah, then there's that price range, especially for old full price games when they hit a level that I don't even feel obligation to play it if I buy it for $5 and it was $60 at one point. And it's just like, no, I'd like to have this on my library for that outside chance that I'm feeling the mood to play it. But because it, I don't know, there's like that $5 or less for a major game that doesn't faze me at all.
Well, it's like we're cavemen and we've got head of cattle, and it's like our status symbol. It's like, you know, we're never going to use this cattle. We could probably give it to somebody and they'd be okay, but we're going to hold on to it anyway because it makes us look kind of cool. Like, I sometimes think that, and that's so dorky. That's like a dorky, really super materialistic thing. But like, it's, I kind of like to look at my Steam queue, but then again, it's almost like, you know, it's kind of counterproductive too because it scares the absolute shit out of me. And I'm like, oh man, I got to kind of back out a little bit.
Well, do you trick yourself and just like, you only show the games that are installed rather than seeing your full library? Or like,
you know, actually I thought that it would help me if I saw how many games I had uninstalled. That would help me not buy any more games, but then I just realized I had more hard drive space so I could get some more and load up. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's really, it's just really kind of difficult. It's almost like I have to have an artificial barrier in front of me, outside of, you know, financial issues. Obviously, I don't want to make us go broke because of my gaming. But yeah, I mean, almost like there needs to be like an artificial thing. Because again, I also want to be like, and it's not just I have to own it, but I want to be up on things. Like when we're talking, when we're doing podcasts, if we're out at like, you know, an outing or whatnot, and someone's talking about a game, I like to know somewhat what they're talking about, whether or not I know a whole lot, or, you know, I want to be able to say, oh yeah, I've heard of that game, tell me more about it. Because again, we're interested in games, and it's just like, you know, I always hate it when someone talks about a game, I don't know what they're talking about. I feel like I should know every single game that, you know, that exists out there. So there's a little bit of that too. There's almost that, you know, our want to be as professional as possible, and that's where kind of that pursuit comes from.
But our want to be professional comes out of our passion to just play a bunch of games. And I mean, I know enough about you and I that we would probably pursue that whether or not Horrible Night existed or not, that we would. I want to be, especially if it's, you know, a unique game, I want to say that I've at least tried it. And that's important to me, that I get to try a range of games, especially, you know, on the indie game side. Sometimes I don't feel the need to finish them or see them through, but I'll buy a handful at a time. I do, like, how does your gaming budget work? Just like, I know things have changed since your move, but just, you know, I try to limit myself to at most two major game purchases a month, and then my kind of downloadable purchases kind of vary. But I do try to keep an eye on, like, an overall number, which the thing is, in the heavy months, I feel squeezed when there's a lot of releases I want to play, and I try to talk myself into that third game or that fourth game. And but during the summer or the light months, that's when I'm stocking up on my backlog of, you know, sales that have happened, and I'm still managing to hit those numbers, but my library just keeps growing because I can't play as fast as I purchase.
Yeah, I was going to say, at this point, I'm almost, I almost feel like I want to pick up, you know, in the heavy season. I almost wouldn't even say month, but like during a heavy season, like fall, you know, obviously, you know, August, Darksiders 2, you know, September, Borderlands 2. And I'm almost like, I feel pretty good with those two purchases because those are games I think, you know, we're going to be talking about more so, you know, throughout the year. You know, outside of that, there's a few bigger ones that are coming out, you know, that I'm not as concerned about at this point because I know one of you guys is going to play it. So I'm almost trying to back out a little bit, just because I, you know, we do have to, I mean, our budget's a lot different now. I mean, we definitely have one income, and until I start making money off my modeling, which isn't working out so hot right now, you know, I've got to be a little bit wary of that. So right now it's a little bit, it's been, I've muffled my gaming, if you will, in terms of purchasing, because again, I've still got, I'm into Secret World. I Darksiders 2 is going to take me some time. So will Borderlands 2. And I think that I actually want to get more out of those games than maybe I would have in the past.
Have you ever felt on top of your game purchases as far
Absolutely
as...
Absolutely not.
Okay. I was like, so we need to find someone a little bit more relatable that, yeah. I mean, I used to always say, like, go into something like, I won't buy another game until I finish this last one. But I've never attempted to be that guy. Because the other funny thing is, you know, we're talking about the games are actively playing, but you know, every now and then I get that itch to do some retro game collecting. And for some reason, you know, it's not like something I ever budget for, but it always it has to come from the same place. But I always feel I never bat an eye at buying a couple major releases and then, oh, I'm going to stock up on some NES games. And especially when I find a deal, like we did our little Tetris challenge and I tracked down, you know, like a ridiculously priced copy of Tengen Tetris, and didn't even think about it as a game purchase, but at the same time, my gaming budget ballooned that month because I took up retro game collecting. And I'm not even counting those games as far as the library of things I'm not playing but purchasing.
And sometimes I validate because, you know, we're doing an article or something on it, so I'm like, well, it's work, you know what I mean? And like, you know, and fortunately I've got a supportive wife, but I'm just glad I moved away when you guys are starting to get into retro game collecting, because I was starting to feel like I needed to get a Game Boy, an original NES, and I mean, there's not a whole lot of storage over here. There's a lot of huge rooms in our flat, but there's no storage, so I would just have piles and piles of crap, but I think I'd start to look like, you know, kind of a strange individual, because you guys get to leave during the day, and I kind of just hang out here, so it's just me and my Nintendo cartridges. Actually, it sounds like a sitcom.
Did you would it be safe to say that gaming takes care of basically a majority of your hobby purchases too?
Because
you're talking about retro game collecting, and we've started you and I have started branching out into tabletop collecting a little bit, but I'm intimidated by the price of those games because it's pretty equal to video games. It's like I can't support both habits, but
yeah. There's no way. I mean, just looking at this, I mean, the card games are a little bit cheaper, and I actually have enjoyed that. I actually got the Resident Evil, you know, card game, and that's, you know, that was about $30. But the miniatures, like, that's, again, there's no way. Like, it's just up until I'm making a lot of money, even people that are really into it, I mean, they have to have enormous budgets or they just don't eat for months, because that is even more expensive. I mean, you know, video games can be an expensive hobby, but yeah. I don't think we can hold a candle to people that do miniatures, because they're spending hundreds upon hundreds of dollars and even probably more time than we play, you know, video games, painting and doing that stuff. So that's a hobby that I think I'm kind of glad that I'm just kind of on the outside looking in and slowly tipping my toe in there. But that freaks me out, because that could be the next dual hobby, you know, maybe not retro game collecting, but if it was tabletop stuff, it'd be like, man, you'd spend so much. I need to win the lottery. I don't know if the Germans have lottery. I'm sure they do. Everybody has that. But if so, I'll go for that. I'll vie for that.
But yeah, it's kind of important that, no, I recognize this is the hobby I spend my money on. Like, I'd have to reconsider my game purchasing habits if I branched out into something else. Like,
absolutely.
Even beyond that. But I'm trying to think, like, Is this something you want to correct? What are we, you know, what are we trying to get out of this?
You know, I think, I don't know, because every time I say that I want to correct it, I'm not spending money without talking to my wife about it. So it's not like it's behind closed doors type stuff. I'm not spending so much money that it's becoming an issue. I definitely wouldn't want it to get worse than this. But again, there's an aspect of it that I feel somewhat of an obligation to keep up on things. And, you know, with that being said, I think there's, you've got to temper it a little bit. And I think that, you know, one thing that I want to get from it is that I don't need to buy some of those games. If the game's 4 years old, even if it's $2, there's no reason to get it. I mean, you're not going to play it. I know I'm not going to play it. No one's going to play it with me. There's plenty of stuff to do. I mean, there's still 300 hours worth of Skyrim that I can jump into. I mean, it's just, you know, like there's plenty to do on my list. And, I'm learning to validate stuff a little bit more. There's free to play games. That's huge right now. And that's something that I really want to investigate more, because that's something that I've always been tentative about. I haven't really trusted free to play games, and I need to explore those more. There's a lot of indie games that are coming out that are pretty cheap. A lot of demos out there, a lot of free to play games that aren't the free to play model, but that are just free games that are available. And so there's a lot more of the industry, and this is what I'm telling myself, to view that is not going to cost us $40, $50, $60 a pop. You know, there's more that we can look into, and we can still be well-informed, but maybe not well-informed on the AAA side, but well-informed on the indie side would be a lot cheaper. And maybe that's the direction I'll go in, while also still, you know, picking up the games that I want to pick up, as opposed to feeling obligated to be on top of every AAA title, because that gets freaking expensive.
Yeah, I've just been trying to look at my purchasing habits from the regards of just, as long as I have a few games in each genre that I want to play, I kind of need to cut myself off. Like I tried to, you know, that's how I look at even my holiday purchases. Like, you know, I'm not, you know, I look at like, there's probably like, I have time in 1 3-month span to play one shooter, one racing game, one adventure game. But if I start duplicating in that genre, I usually will hold off on that purchase, and then just try to keep that awareness more in check, because you know, I'm not as big of a used game trader as I used to be. I like to kind of be proud of my library not make regretful decisions on the big purchases. But I am still really, really weak. I'm still trying to figure out how to handle this new scale of games, especially the $20 and under. I don't read reviews. I just go completely on instinct on those. And I would like to take a little bit better time and be more informed on those purchases. But also, and just trying to take it out of the realm of writing for the site and games to influence that. Because that's not something every gamer deals with. But I think kind of negotiating the different price levels of games is something that a lot of us are dealing with. And it's a good thing to have too many games to play. I mean, this is amazing age to be a gamer right now. But trying to, like you said, we're nearing the end of a console cycle, and I look through all of my purchase history on my 360 and how many XBLA games I own, and I know that I've played a lesser percentage of those than the games sitting on my shelf, but I still continue to make those purchases without thinking about it, and that's not a smart thing to do. And I would like those habits to be a little bit cleaned up by the next gen.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean that the whole end of the console generation is something that is why my console purchases have been way less. And just, I mean, again, I am primarily PC, but that's also a bad thing, is because being primarily PC, those games are always going to be there. So it's not like, you know, I'm going to literally put something away, and then if I want to play it, I'm going to have to pull it back out. I mean, those games are still going to be, you know, looking me in the eye. So that is why I'm trying to, again, delete them off of Steam. I still own them, but delete them off so they're not just sitting there and making sure that I'm not, again, I think double dipping, you're 100% correct. There's really no point to, I mean, you know, if you want a loot lust game, that's why, you know, like with Torchlight 2, I'm a little bit, you know, tentative about going into that, even though I want to play the game. But again, I put so much time into Diablo 3, and I know they're different games. Don't get me wrong. I understand they're different games. Torchlight 2 actually looks a lot more appealing, but am I going to get that much more out of
it? Yeah, get something different out of it.
And that's, yeah, exactly. So I need to get something different out of it. And that's another good point you make is I need to have, you know, a different genre and a different feel. And if it's like a Minecraft or one of those indie darlings that does something completely different, absolutely, I'm going to jump in on that. But if it's something, if it's that side-scroller puzzle thing that has been happening a lot in the indie scene, there's really no reason to pursue it because it's been done. You know, we've already seen it. It's not that big, that new and that exciting anymore. So I'm also toning back in terms of that.
One good thing on the PC side is a lot of these Steam sales, like we've had like 3 or 4 years of them at this point, of the like the ridiculous holiday and summer ones that anytime they throw like a big publisher pack out at me, there's really, at this point, there's only like one or two more games in it per year. So I'm not as susceptible to those because I've bought the ones that I've wanted. But I was starting to think, you know, the digital distribution and like the re-releases, I've got bad habits of buying multiple copies of games. And I was really, really worried with the Wii U getting to come out and Nintendo still figuring out their network stuff that game purchases wouldn't transfer over. But it sounds like it is. But I think that if people start getting heavier into digital downloads that, you know, that haven't been, they're going to be confronted with that that issue of purchasing a game multiple times because I think maybe PSN's the best example because they're releasing a lot more of their PS3 games and, you know, the Vita games are on there as well. They've actually started releasing more PS2 games as digital downloads. And man, out of laziness, I've come really close to just buying the Ratchet and Clank series that just came out on PSN, even though I could go to the store and get it or open up my closet and play the PS2 version and just hook up the old console. But it's more of a, I will make those purchases just out of sheer just comfort that I don't have to take that extra, use that extra effort. And that's a new drain that I'm kind of worried about the next generation when they start going back into the PS3 library and the Xbox 360 library and offering digital downloads for games I already own on disc, but I don't want to bust out that old system. And that's a whole other realm of purchases to confront.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a scary thing on the horizon. Fortunately, I guess from double purchasing on those things. If I've played it before and I see it, you know, there's been very few games nostalgia-wise, I mean, you know, that I've wanted to buy again like that. So that's not as big of an issue, but I think everything else is. So, I mean, that's you, man, I feel sorry for you.
I was going to say, I actually started that rant with the point that if I had stuck with PC, I wouldn't be as confronted with that problem because a lot of the console games that I enjoy are still coming out for PC, and I think more will in the future. But how the consoles handle their next gen does affect a lot of my game purchases. So another reason to start paying a little bit more attention to the PC as this next gen kicks up.
I was going to say it's if it hasn't gained momentum yet, it's gaining momentum at this point, and those are very good reasons right there. Is just because there's no worry about not being able to transition stuff over, especially with Steam. So yeah, that's a strength it has at this point. And fortunately for me, I'm able to benefit from that, but that doesn't, I still buy way too many fucking games. So
I was gonna say, so has this peer therapy session changed any of your purchasing habits?
I think being analytical about it makes me feel a little bit like I'm not completely out of control, but I mean, I don't think it will.
Maybe we should talk to somebody a little different than us,
like our significant others, maybe.
Yeah, they might. That would actually be a fun follow up.
I don't know if it'd be fun, but
have them listen to this show and then give a reaction podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah.
No, but I would be interested in hearing from our listeners as far as you know, how you make your game purchasing decisions, and if you ever feel overwhelmed with kind of the amount of games that you have to play, or you know, if these other pricing models are affecting the number of games you're purchasing and if that's affecting your gameplay, because I feel like maybe, you know, over the years, I developed a pretty good balance with how many major releases I purchased, but the advent of the 20 and under games has completely thrown off both my gameplay style and like and how I'm divvying up my hours and the sheer amount of money I'm spending on these games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd be curious to see if that's almost corrupting gameplay, because I found myself again losing out on some games because I'm jumping between so many and I'm not able to get into the flow or momentum of those games. So I would be curious if anybody else has that issue as well, because it's tough to really get the most out of a game when you're, you know, feel obligated to move on to something else or you have to get the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that was an interesting conversation. Anyway, let us know what you think of the comments, and if you like this episode of the Cursed Checkpoint, give us a review or a rating on iTunes, and we'd appreciate it. And the Cursed Checkpoint will be back with another episode in the near future. We'll see you.